And James got the name of Camel Knees. And the reason that he got the name of Camel Knees was because he spent so much time in prayer. And as you think about that, you know, I want to learn from somebody that spends that much time in prayer. You know, wouldn't you want to learn from somebody that spent a lot of time on their knees in prayer, that their knees began to look like a camel's knees, and that this person was on their face before God, and then they have something to write about. They have something to tell you about in reference to prayer.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We invite you to join us today for the first half of How to Pray Prayers That Hit the Mark, which is based on James chapter 4, verse 3. So if you have your Bible, please open it to the book of James chapter 3. As we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of How to Pray Prayers That Hit the Mark.
James chapter 4 and verse 3. As we continue our theme of prayer and continue our series on prayer, James says, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." I want to speak to you this morning on how to pray prayers that hit the mark. How to pray prayers that hit the mark. James says that you don't have because you ask amiss, that you miss the mark, that you're praying things that God doesn't intend for you to pray. And so this morning we want to look at how we can pray prayers. And as you come today, I'm going to tell you that every prayer you pray, if you're praying the right way, should be answered by God. Every prayer that you pray, if you're praying the right way, should be answered by God. So we want to talk about how to pray prayers that hit the mark. You know, sometimes I was thinking, if God granted us every request that we ever wanted, wouldn't we be in bad shape? We would all be as rich as Bill Gates and have bodies like Mr. Universe if God granted us every request that we wanted. You know, everybody, you know, has requests, and we lift those requests up to the Lord. But sometimes God, as he looks down and as he hears our requests, I remember when I graduated from college, I had the opportunity to try out for the Dallas Cowboys. And there was nothing more in my heart that I wanted than to play professional football. All my life, since the time I was 8 years old, I played football. And I used to watch it on TV all the time and see the guys in the NFL. And I said, one day I'm going to be in the NFL. And that was my lifelong dream. And then I knew that once I became a Christian, that God was going to grant that request. I knew that when I got my heart right with God, that I was going to make it in the NFL. And as I went down and tried out for the Dallas Cowboys and got cut, and then the next year I had a free agent trial with the Denver Broncos and went, and the same thing happened again the next year. God just brought me to a place where, you know, I was frustrated, discouraged, and I had nowhere else to go. My whole life seemed like it had gone down the drain because of what my dream and my goal was. And it was in the quietness of that moment that God spoke to my heart about going into the ministry. And I was able to hear his voice so clearly at that time. And now that I look back on my life, I think a career in the NFL would have been a nice thing, but I see that God had another thing for me. God had a job for me to come and be able to preach and proclaim the word of God. And if God would have gave me what I wanted, I'm not so sure that that would have been the best thing for me. And so a lot of times, you know, we pray prayers, and, you know, we think that we're praying what it is that is on our heart, but we're not praying what's on God's heart. You know, I heard the story about a mother who was making coleslaw. And this was back in the day when we had knives. You know, today you just put it in your food processor and blend it up. But back in the day when you had those long knives, and she had a long knife, and she was chopping up this coleslaw for dinner. And she had a two-year-old son that was there. And the son was almost able to reach the counter. And the mother kept pushing him away because she didn't want him to get cut by the knife. But he kept coming to the counter, and he kept wanting to reach up and grab a hold of that knife. Well, the mother got a phone call, and she went and began to talk on the phone. And she got so involved in the conversation that she forgot all about it. And the young boy, the little boy, he reached up and he grabbed the knife. And he went back and sat on the floor and began to play with the knife. And just about that time, the mother looked around and saw that he was there playing with the knife. And she screamed and ran over to him and took the knife. And the little two-year-old was upset and began to get a little attitude because his mother took the knife. And you know how two-year-olds do. They get into the little bag and began to whine and began to say, reach out and want to grab. When the little boy began to do this, what do you think that mother said to him? Oh, son, here, take the knife. Play with you. This is what you want. You want the knife, and I'm going to give you the knife. And here, you take the knife and just play with it all day long. No, that mother didn't give that boy the knife. Why? Because she knew that it was something that was not good for him. And sometimes we have our heart set on things and we pray for things and God doesn't give it to us, and then we get upset and we begin to whine and moan like that little child, and we grab out and because we want it. It's my money and I want it now. And so God holds back on us and he doesn't give it to us. Well, we want to talk about this morning, how do you pray prayers that hit the mark every time? That every time you pray, you are praying a prayer that pleases the heart of God, and that God will delight in answering that prayer every time. As I said last week, we want to look at a master prayer, and that individual was James. James, as I pointed out last week, when he died, they saw that his knees were calloused. And James got the name of Camel Knees. And the reason that he got the name of Camel Knees was because he spent so much time in prayer. And as you think about that, you know, I want to learn from somebody that spends that much time in prayer. You know, wouldn't you want to learn from somebody that spent a lot of time on their knees in prayer, that their knees began to look like a camel's knees? And that this person was on their face before God, and then they have something to write about. They have something to tell you about in reference to prayer. And James, last week, he talked about the fact that if any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God, and that God will give it to you. And now we see tucked away in the fourth chapter of the book of James, another little prayer secret. You have to fish for it. You have to get down in it and dig it out. But it's there. He tucks it away in verse 3. He says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. In James chapter 4, James is confronting a spirit of lust and selfishness that's in the heart of people and that's in the heart of the world. He begins in verse 1. He says, from where come wars and fightings among you? Come they not here even of your lust that you war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. James is addressing this spirit that's in our world today, this spirit of lust, this spirit of selfishness that is not only in the world, but it even creeps into our prayer lives. My. A spirit of selfishness that creeps into our prayer lives. Just think about your prayer time. and just do a conscious check and ask yourself, how much of my prayers are consumed upon me and my desires and my needs? Just think about that. Think about the time of prayer. And you know, we've been on Wednesdays, we've been talking about all types of prayer. And we see that petition is just one type of prayer, that there's thanksgiving, there's praise, there's waiting, there's intercession, there's singing, there's all type of other prayers, and we focus most of our prayers on me, myself, and I. You heard the poem. I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. 'Twas very small, 3 guests and all, just I, myself, and me. I ate all the sandwiches while I drank all the tea. 'Twas also I that ate the pie, now pass the cake to me. So you see, we are consumed with ourselves. And James is confronting this because he sees the spirit of self even entering into the prayer closet. And he's saying that here you are, you're praying, and you're praying, and you're wondering why your prayers are not being answered. And the reason that they're not being answered is because they're selfish. Your prayers are not in accordance to the heart and the spirit of God. What does it mean to pray amiss? In your notes this morning, if you want to read along with me, the word amiss comes from the Greek word kakos, which means evil, wicked, or wrong. The idea here is that of praying with wrong motives. When a person prays amiss, he is praying for some selfish motive. These motives can be sincere. You may be like Pastor Glaze. You were praying for God to heal. I was asking God to heal me. Or your prayer may be lustful. You may be praying for something extravagant. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying to be healed, and there's nothing wrong with praying for something extravagant. Watch this now. If it lines up with the will of God in your life. Wow. Wow. So as we look at this whole idea of praying amiss, sometimes we don't seek God's will, but we want to pray for our own desires, and our prayer is, not thy will be done, but my will be done. But my will be done. Oh, I'm doing some teaching this morning. I'm doing some teaching this morning. Let me teach you this morning. There are two sources of prayer. Prayer originates from one or two sources. I want you to get this because this is very important. Prayer originates from one of two sources. It either originates from our hearts or it originates from the heart of God. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. This side didn't hear. I was over here and I was talking to y'all. Y'all missed it. Now I'm going over here. I'm going over here. Prayer originates either from our hearts or the heart of God. Amen. All right, amen, amen. All right, I'll come back and try y'all again, all right? Prayer either originates from our heart or from the heart of God. Amen, amen. So you've got to begin to ask the question, where is the origination of my prayer request? And I'm going to go back and say, here was Pastor Glaze, sick, not getting better, going in and out, back and forth to the hospital, had surgeries, and the situation supposed to be healing, and it's getting worse. And I'm praying, you know, God, you said that you were a healer. God, you have all power in your hand. God, how come you're not healing my leg? How come things are not getting healed in my body? And as I began to examine that and see that the situation continued on and on and on, and that God wasn't moving in the situation, then I had to conclude that at that time, that prayer was coming from my heart. It was coming from my heart and not the heart of God. Because if it was coming from the heart of God, he would have just, doop, and it would have been gone.
So evidently God was working something in me, in my life, that I had to deal with in order for me to learn what he wanted me to learn. Look at Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Verses 14 and 15. And this is talking about Israel in the wilderness and how that God blessed them, but then they began to complain and turn their hearts against God. And the scripture says in verse 14, but lusted, talking about the people in the wilderness, but they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. Now, where does lust come from? It comes from where? Inside the heart. Amen. It comes from inside. All right. Now, this is very important. I want you to see this now. Very important. It comes from inside the heart. But they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. Watch this. This blows my mind. And God gave them. The prayer came from them. It didn't come from God. It came from a lustful heart. And the Bible said God gave them what they requested, but he sent leanness unto their soul. Wow. See, sometimes that old saying, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. You just might get it. And so, you know, God gets to a point where I guess he just comes and he says that if this is the desire of your heart, if this is what you want, let me just go ahead and give it to you. You know, as a matter of fact, they complain and they ask for meat. And God said, you want meat? Meat? You say, oh, I'll give you meat. And the Bible said it became running out their mouth, nose, eyes, everywhere, you know. They just got stuff with me. And so, you know, sometimes God will grant the request that's from a lustful heart. And even during that time, you know, we got to be careful because it's not for our good. It's just like that mother giving the child the knife. Here, take the knife and play with it. See, sometimes God gets wore out sometimes because we keep asking for stuff that he never intended for us to have. And sometimes in his wisdom, he holds it back from us. All right? And then sometimes, according to James 4, he holds it back. He says, you ask and you have not because you ask amiss. All right, God held it back in some situations, but in other situations, he let them have what they wanted. And that was the very thing that destroyed them. And they exchanged what they wanted from a lustful soul. They exchanged being fed and have a heartiness of soul. And so we need to ask the question, you know, where's my prayer? And this is the first thing that we've got to discern. Where is my prayer coming from? Is my prayer coming from my heart? Is my prayer coming from my desires? Is my prayer coming from my needs? And I can say this because I'm a testimony. When you're sick, you want to get well. And you call, I told you, I was calling everybody. I was watching religious programs, and they put a number on there for prayer. I was calling. Let me write that number down. I was calling, man, can y'all pray for me? Because I wanted to get better. But was it me that wanted to get better, or was God wanting me to get better at that time? See, we got to discern. I know this is strange to some of y'all now, but it's tight, but it's right, all right? It's tight, but it's right. We got to discern where our prayer requests are coming from. And if it's coming from self, God is not obligated to answer that prayer request. He says that you pray and you don't receive because you ask amiss. You ask wrongly. You ask with the wrong motives. But let me show you something about prayer that originates in the heart of God. Look at Jeremiah 29. Oh, some of y'all can quote it. You don't even need to turn there. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Let me tell you about something about a prayer that originates in the heart of God. He says in verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall pray unto me, and I will do what? I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God says, this is deep. Any prayer that originates in my heart is going to come to pass. Any prayer that originates with me, I know the thoughts, Bill Glaze, that I have for you, and I have thoughts of peace. I have thoughts. Brother Bill, look, I'm shaping you, and I'm molding you, and I'm not going to heal you right now because I have thoughts that I want to bring you to an expected end. And if I heal you right now, you're not going to get what I need for you. So let me just keep on. See, we don't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear that. Lord knows I don't want to hear it. I know y'all don't want to hear it. But sometimes God is in the shaping and molding business because he knows the plans that he has for us. He knows the outcome. And any outcome, any plan that started in the heart of God, if we line up with it, God will bring it to pass. So let me ask the question. Just go down. See, so some of us, if we wrote down all of our prayers, just write them down, and we go down and check the list. Originated from me, originated from me, originated from me, originated from me. And let me show you what I mean. What are some ways that we pray amiss? Well, one way is that when we pray for something that is clearly against God's word. All right, now I'm getting ready to get in trouble. I'm going to lose some friends. Hopefully no members, but some friends. I don't know how many people. I know I'm getting ready to lose some. I'm going to lose some friends. I know it right now. I love you. Let me tell you, I love you. Pastor Glaze, love you. All right? I've had people come to me and say, God bless me to win the lottery. Now, I know y'all play, because I seen some of y'all on the line. Now, don't get quiet on me. I seen some of y'all on the line. All right. All right. And you say that God blessed you. Well, the word of God says that we shouldn't gamble. I mean, there's several scriptures. Proverbs 28:22 talks about seeking to get rich quick. You know, that those schemes will come to an end because that's not the plan of God in your life. So here you are wanting to do something that, or go on and say, you know, Lord, if I just could hit this lottery, then, you know, I give 10% to the church. You know, so, Lord, if you bless me to hit it, well, you know, right there, you know, you're praying amiss. You're praying with the wrong motive. You think God is this genie, and you can rub the magic bottle, and if you just tell him that you're going to do something for him, that poof, he's going to jump out, and he's going to bless you contrary to his word. It's not going to happen. Now, some folk, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, some people, when they hit it, they should have never hit it anyways because they end up doing foolish stuff with it, squandering it, and their last state is worse than the first state. You know, I mean, there's several people that have ended up that way. So, you know, I'm here to say that if you're praying something that's contrary to the word of God, if you know in the word of God that is contrary to what God's word says, then you're praying amiss. And God is not going to answer that prayer. Now, you might hit the lottery, but you know the devil wants to bless folks too. Well, the devil can't bless anybody. No, he can't bless anybody. But let me say this. The devil wants to curse people. All right, getting a little quiet in here, but that's all right. All right, next time you go, pray on the matter.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were encouraged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of how to pray prayers that hit the mark. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, how to pray prayers that hit the mark, You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request How to Pray Prayers That Hit the Mark, or program number 100-321. That's 877-831-5060 and request How to Pray Prayers That Hit the Mark, or program number 100-321. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.